Good afternoon. Happy Thursday, everybody. My name is Megan Tackett, and you are listening to Everything Under the Sun on KDNK. KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork, and beyond. It is just about 4 o'clock, and we are doing our little half-hour news show where we kind of go over what was covered in this week's edition of Soap or Sun. It's our nonprofit, Carbondale's nonprofit weekly newspaper, and it does come out on Thursday, so if you haven't had a chance to read the paper yet, good news, you can do so by listening to the radio station. Joining me in the station today is Alan Cole. Hi, Alan.
Hi, how's it going, Megan?
Good, good. And Alan, you are the president of the Carbondale Rotary Club.
That's right. Yeah, it's the Carbondale Rotary Club, and we are one of two clubs, actually, in Carbondale. We're the club that meets at 7 a.m. at the fire station, and there's also a noon club that meets at White House Pizza Thursday at noon.
Yeah, I have to say you are very effective at your job, Mr. President, because I think that was the first conversation I've ever had where I thought, 7 a.m. meetings, I could do that.
It's definitely designed for, you know, folks who are not afraid to get up in the morning, that's for sure.
Well, and one of the insights I really liked you sharing with me during our conversation is what a wonderful way to start your day that is.
It really is. We have a terrific person, Rick Carlson, who's been so effective in getting great dynamic speakers for us to come and talk about everything under the sun.
Heyo.
And it's really great because you do walk away from the meeting feeling totally energized and ready to take on the day.
That's fantastic. So for people who are listening, I mean, I know a lot of people who are familiar with the Rotary. It's this big international organization. You were telling me there's like a million plus members worldwide. But I think a lot of people aren't totally crystal clear on what that entails. What is the Rotary? And if I go show up at 7 in the morning and you've got speakers lined up, what is that experience going to be like?
Well, just to give you an overview of Rotary, it is, it's a 1.2 million member organization worldwide. There are 56,000 clubs in over 200 countries. And while that sounds like a lot, what it boils down to is that each one of these clubs is a sort of a mirror image of the community that they serve. And they're made up entirely of volunteers, of people who are interested in banding together and working together to make their communities better.
That's lovely. And I know that I really like the way that you guys marry local needs and that reflection of Carbondale, but also in a way that reflects the larger, broader missions of Rotary. So, for instance, when you talk about literacy, right, the Rotary in general is huge on literacy. Well, that translates to free dictionaries to third graders, which I thought was adorable.
It's really great, and it's one of the most special things we do. I've been in charge of the project for the past couple of years, and just being able to see the looks on the kids' faces when we travel and, you know, go to visit each one of the local schools. And, you know, we go to the Crystal River Elementary School, we go to the Carbondale Community School, we go to Ross Montessori School, and we go to the Waldorf. And, you know, for each one of these kids, it's really kind of an exciting thing because it's theirs. It's something that's very personal, and, you know, they get to write their name in it, and it's something that they can take home. And for many of these kids, you know, it's for some of them, it's, you know, the first book that they've actually can say, this is actually mine. It's not something they got out of the library or, you know, not a hand-me-down or anything. It's, you know, it's straight up theirs.
Yeah, no, I was telling you, I still remember to this day as a fifth grader. So I was a little bit of a late bloomer in Rotary terms, I guess. But as a fifth grader, all I wanted for Christmas was a Merriam-Webster's Unabridged Dictionary. And I remember just the weight of that book. Like, it was huge and it was mine. It wasn't Dr. Seuss. This was something serious.
Yeah, it's really substantial. Definitely. And it's the weight, of course, takes its toll on some of the volunteers who have to lug the boxes around. But, you know, that's another story. We're willing to put up with that for the return that we get. Definitely.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, that sort of, you know, what you were talking about also translates internationally, because one of the Aspen Rotary Club, for instance, has a Guatemala literacy project that they've been working at for, you know, the past decade or so. And the way it works is their club will say, we're going to put up, you know, a certain amount of money, and then we're going to apply for a district grant and then also a grant from international. So Rotary as an entity, everybody pays in dues to international, but then much of that money returns to them when they decide that there are projects that they know that they can go to Rotary and say, hey, look, you know, there's a need in this particular community or in this particular country. Will you be willing to match with us? And so sometimes the money that your club invests can be matched, you know, two or three times over. And it just sort of creates this balloon effect. So all of a sudden, you can start building new schools in third world countries. You can really engage communities that are in desperate need of clean drinking water, for instance. So there are any number of ways that Rotary International collectively can sort of pool resources to make projects happen both in local communities and internationally.
That's pretty incredible. And yeah, again, that combination of, hey, here's a local interest, but we are part of a global community, right? So can you talk to me a little bit about one of the sponsors of an event we're going to get to, but is doing some pretty amazing work in Niger?
That's right. John and Judy Craig have been great supporters of the club, and John has created an amazing project that really is groundbreaking in many ways, and has become a model of sort of what Rotary International Action can be. He has created an organization called, one of his organizations is End Poverty Now, but this particular one is called Farmers of the Future. And Farmers of the Future is devoted to helping communities in Niger to move from subsistence level farming to farming a crop called moringa, that allows them to move from subsistence level farming to commercial farming. So they can earn income because this particular crop is super hardy. It grows in really arid climates, and it's really it produces a yield of a crop about once a month. So they can harvest this crop over and over and over over the course of the year and just bring more money into the community and dramatically raise the standard of living for the folks that are taking part of this project. It has been widely hailed. It's become a sort of a landmark project in the country of Niger, to the point where the agriculture, the head of the agriculture in Niger is looking at this project going, how can we replicate this in other communities?
That's amazing. So instead of teaching man to fish, you're teaching woman to farm, really, right?
Really. Absolutely. Because in many ways, it's, you know, the women who are leading the effort in terms of, you know, taking care of the farming and feeding of their families. And so by teaching them to grow this crop and harvest this crop, I mean, it's transformative.
Yeah. And I think that's the appropriate word, is transformative. It's amazing when you grow economies of scale, how that impacts and trickles down, quote unquote, literally to just every other facet of life. And I love that it's happening from so enthusiastically from a little club in Carbondale.
Absolutely. And, you know, had it not been the brainchild of one of our members, you know, this whole thing never would have gotten off the ground. And we were the first ones in the door. We provided the seed funding for that. And now that it's taken off, it's become this, you know, it's a phenomenal project. So it's incredible. You know, we're incredibly proud of the work that he's done there. And, you know, it's a shining example of the fact that, you know, a little can go a really long way.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of seemingly a little going a long way, another thing that the Rotary Club does that I was really impressed by, and admittedly, I'm a tutor, so I'm a little biased, right? I'm constantly working with juniors and seniors who are trying to, and partnering with nonprofits who are just working with a lot of first-gen students who are looking at, you know, post-secondary education. It's amazing to me that you all are able to give out $1,000 scholarships for graduating seniors at Roaring Fork High, Basalt High, Bridges, because that $1,000 can be the difference between covering application fees and not being able to apply to a school.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's another thing that we're extremely proud of. The kids that apply for these scholarships, the essays and, you know, sort of the academic work that they put in over their 4 years, just really impressive. Terrific kids that are going to go on to do great things. And so being able to give them a little bit of a helping hand as they move on to the next level in their education, it's terrific. It's really, really wonderful.
How do you possibly prioritize your projects as a specific Rotary Club when you're looking at all the potential? And from what I gather, you have, 30-ish members that show up every 7 a.m. meeting? Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot. That's 30 different perspectives and 30 different pet projects. How do you possibly prioritize how you're going to channel your energies?
Well, we base it off of sort of the core the core values of Rotary and sort of the areas of interest that the organization has overall. And then from there, you know, it's really very much member driven. So we have a committee that meets to decide, you know, okay, what are we going to do this year? How do we want to get involved? But usually it's members approaching the club saying, hey, there's an opportunity for us to volunteer in this way. You know, we were approached by Carbondale Arts and RAFTA to help them do some trail cleanup and create Derail Park, which is it's on the Rio Grande Trail as you're going through Carbondale. It's sort of across the street from the park and ride Carbondale Park and Ride. And, you know, we took that on, and that was a really fun project because, you know, we certainly contributed a bit of money to it, but it was a lot of manpower, too. So being able to get out there and actually, you know, plant new plants and do some landscaping and just really transform that area to this sort of overrun kind of not very pretty location to something that really serves as a gateway for pedestrian access to the town of Carbondale. That was a great project to be involved in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I've spoken to Amy Kimberly about that specific park, I've spoken, you know, I did a piece and Olivia Pevick, who runs the blacksmithing program outside of CRMS, you're nodding enthusiastically, yep. Right?
Like, she's a terrific artist.
Oh, my gosh. Right. And a really good board member. Shout out to Olivia Pevick. But it is incredible to see, you know, all these different facets that create something that really does become the gateway to the town. And I really, the more I talk to people about that specific park, everyone puffs up their chest a little bit of like, yeah, this is going to be reflective of who we are as a town. And that's really neat. And I love knowing that the Rotary was so involved in creating that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the more fun projects that we get a chance to take a part in. And, you know, but once again, for each one of these things, it's usually a member that comes up and says, hey, there's an opportunity here. And so we'll talk about it. You know, does it meet with our needs? You know, do we have the resources to be able to make a difference? And if so, then we're on board for sure.
Absolutely. I want to home in on one of the words you just used, resources. So a lot of volunteer hours, right? You know, blood, sweat, tears, as it were. But money kind of makes the world go round in a lot of these endeavors. So I'd like to take the opportunity to pivot to the timely factor of why I have you in today, which is upcoming First Friday, September 7th, is going to be unlike any other First Friday. Can you tell me why?
Yeah, this is going to be something completely new for us. You know, you mentioned it in the article in the Soper Sun, but we're excited about this one because it's a concept that a member of the club, Jack Brenlinger, approached us about, and it's something that he had done up in Aspen probably, you know, 10, 15 years ago, where they were looking for an alternative to the Ducky Derby. It's modeled off on the Ducky Derby concept in that people are selling tickets for a chance to win prizes, and the way the prizes are decided is, you know, by having an object that gets moved in one way or another down a course, and, you know, the first one through gets to be the winner. So, but instead of using tiny little rubber ducks, 30,000 of them, I guess it by last count is what Aspen tackles, which is just, you know, way beyond our capacity. We decided that we're going to blow up giant rubber balls. They're going to be these multicolored spiked balls. And we are going to be blowing them up on Thursday. And then on Friday, we're going to be setting up sort of concert fencing along Main Street. I mean, people are still welcome to roam up and down right up until the time of the event. But what we're going to do is we're going to dump these balls off the back of large dump trucks. And then we've got these huge sort of hurricane fans that they use as special effects in Hollywood movies when they want to generate a spontaneous windstorm. We're going to use these fans to blow the balls down the street. The idea is that the first two balls that cross the line, there are going to be 100, 120 of them, roughly, depending on how many tickets we sell. The first two balls that cross the line are going to match up to a ticket. We're going to have a computer do the whole thing right before the event starts, so there's no possibility of, you know, any shenanigans going on. But it's all going to be totally randomized. But the first two balls that cross, they'll match a ticket, and that winner will win $5,000. We've also got some other terrific prizes that we've just lined up, which I want to talk about too.
Excellent.
But yes, that's the concept. And yeah, it's going to be, as I refer to it, it's going to be good chaos.
I know. My favorite idea of the chaos is still this image of the pedestrian that somehow didn't pick up the newspaper, isn't listening to Katie and Kay right now. And can you just imagine walking about thinking, oh, honey, let's go gallery hop in Carbondale for First Friday. And then all of a sudden these like Hollywood style, you know, windstorm fans kicking off all these balls coming down the street. I love it.
We're going to do our level best to make sure that the roadway is clear at that particular junction. We're have a couple events that'll be surrounding this as well. We're going to do what we call the event is titled The Running of the Balls. I must confess in all honesty that we were originally going to use the Great Balls of Fire as the name of the event. But given the current conditions outside and the situation this summer, we thought it was a better bet to go with another idea. So
running of the balls sensitivity was the right call.
Yeah, running of the balls is what we came up with instead. And so we're, you know, kind of taking on the theme of the running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain, although much safer. So
don't know yet.
Well, we're going to find out. Yeah, there could, you know, there any number of things could go wrong with this thing, which is what I'm kind of looking, you know, I like the chaos aspect of it. But yeah, so we're going to have a running of the kids, little fun run that's going to start at 5:30. And then we're working on putting together elements for a very small parade featuring a fire truck and ambulance. We're going to have a couple of clowns hanging out, handing out beach balls, I think, to the crowd.
Oh, fantastic.
And we're working on lining up a band for that, but that has yet to be determined. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have a band there as well. And then after that, you know, we're going to, starting on 3rd Street, we are going to dump the balls and blow them down the street all the way down to Wyant Boulevard. So, yes, you know, if you are all inclined to come out for First Friday, definitely do so because, yeah, you don't want to miss this. This should be pretty good.
Now, if I wanted to get involved and make sure that I had a ball represented, what's the best way to find you to get tickets?
You know what? We actually have a couple of volunteers, a couple of Rotarians who are selling tickets as we speak at City Market. So if you have any shopping needs, swing by City Market right now and you can talk to Jim and you can talk to Frank and they would be more than happy to sell you some tickets to see if you can match the balls and be a big prize winner.
Nice, nice. So do you have an actual time yet for like this is when balls are coming off the dump truck? I know that in general there's a window, but
we're aiming for 7 p.m.
Okay, yep. Good to know. So 7 p.m.
And we should have the winner announced by 8 p.m.
Fantastic.
That's what we're aiming for.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And you do not need to be present to win, just so you know.
Although it sounds like so much fun. Why wouldn't you be, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, speaking of, I have to give a shout out to you all. We're not on community radio. We're not supposed to discuss actual, you know, cost of things. But one of the things I really enjoyed hearing was that you've also partnered with, what was it, Soul Theater, Youth Zone, and Ascendigo, who are also selling tickets. But they're keeping about 80% of what they sell specifically for their organization.
Exactly. Yeah, we wanted once again to model it after what the Ducky Derby does with the youth groups that they have involved, Aspen Junior Hockey, AVSE. All those kids are out there, you know, pounding the pavement, selling tickets. And so we wanted to replicate that model and do something in Carbondale as well. And so we're excited to be partnering with these organizations. And, you know, it makes sense if they're going to be, you know, putting their time and effort into this, that they should be able to keep a good share of the proceeds from the event. So yeah, we're excited to partner with those guys and hope they're all out there getting after it and selling tickets.
That's awesome. Okay. So I don't normally do this, but there's a big event. Rotary is doing this. Mount Sopers Rotary is also helping with this. The aforementioned youth organizations are doing this. But right now, you are on the radio. You are a local celebrity. I'm giving you the platform. Shout outs to the corporate sponsors that are helping making this possible.
Oh, yeah. absolutely. And thank you so much for the opportunity. You know, we would like to extend a huge thanks to Ace Hardware. Chris Peterson is the Rotary District Governor this year. He's the owner of the local Ace Hardware here in Carbondale, and they've really stepped up to be our title sponsor. And we very much appreciate everything that Chris has done to help push us forward in this event. We'd also like to give a shout out to Alpine Bank and Heartland Environmental Services, who are also key sponsors of ours, as well as A&B Bank. They were one of the first sponsors in the door for us, and so we'd like to thank the good folks over at A&B Bank. And also, I was speaking to you about John and Judy Craig earlier, and they've also stepped up to the plate. Their organization worldwide is called Eliminate Poverty Now. So thanks to the both of them for being key donors of us. We also have some donors at the smaller level, but we certainly appreciate their involvement. We've got McDonald's, we've got Bonfire Coffee, we've got SGM. Let's see, who else is there? Sure Thing Burger in Willits stepped up to the plate and helped us out a little bit. So huge thanks to all of them. And we would not be able to undertake a project of this magnitude without their assistance. Essentially, what it means is that the amount that we raise from the ticket sales will be going directly to scholarships and other local programs that benefit the community.
That's so great. And like I said, for listeners who are like, yeah, sponsors, but I have been in the fundraising capacity. I have been in the nonprofit world. And I joke that every single week in the media in this town, I sound like a broken record. It's community, community, community. And it really does take a village. So, that's a big deal. So I'm happy that we live in a town that has those kind of companies that are able to step up and help make something cool happen for the town. Anything else that I didn't ask that I should have about the upcoming running of the balls, possibly great balls of fire in the future? Should we have wetter summers?
Who knows? But what I will say is that, this is the first time we've undertaken an event of this magnitude, this publicly. And I think the reason for that is that we want people to know more and more about Rotary and what we have going on and the ways that we're having a positive impact on the town and our community. All I want to do is an extended invite to anybody who is interested. Come join us, please, as our guest. We meet Wednesday mornings, 7 a.m., show up 6:45 or so. We've got breakfast provided by Bonfire. Thanks, Bonfire. and come and join us as our guest and listen in. We've got a dynamic lineup of speakers. I'm pretty sure you're going to have a really good time.
And where am I foggily showing up pre-coffee?
That's going to be at the Carbondale Fire Station.
Fabulous.
Right off of 133.
Fabulous. Well, Alan, thank you so much for giving us the inside scoop on that. I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a really good time. Should let you know that support for KDNK comes from the Roaring Fork Transportation Authority. Online bus schedules and routes are at myrafta.com. The MyRafta bus tracker gives real-time information for all routes throughout the valley. Info at myrfta.com. And today at 4:30, stay tuned to the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program. Mental health clinician Corey Barrett will discuss healthy development, inclusivity, and positive relationships with teenage interns from Garfield County Prep. That's the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program today at 4:30. Definitely personal plug, one of my favorite programs here on KDNK. Andy, if you don't mind sticking around, there are other stories to get to in this week's paper. One of which I love everybody's feedback. Just a quick reminder that this is a call-in show. So as we discuss all of the for sale signs dawning downtown right now, if you have something that you'd like to say about that, we are here at 963-2976. Again, that's 963-2976. We'd love feedback from the community members, because the face of downtown, well, I've been assured, is certainly not going to change tomorrow. Will likely change quite a bit in the next few years. All of a sudden, kind of seemingly overnight, there were six lots that all went up for sale. Jay Harrington, our town manager, described them as parklets, and I thought that was appropriate because all of them are undeveloped. And so there's a lot of potential, so much potential, in fact, that future KDNK neighbor who just is currently under contract for 190 Main Street, if you'd like to call in and introduce yourself, we would love to meet you as well. Because that is a lot that's already under contract. And, I think sometimes in a town this size, the natural tendency is to like, oh no, everything's going to change. It's not going to be sustainable, right? But I did speak with the realtor, and one of the few insights she did feel comfortable sharing that I thought was kind of exciting is that all of her serious inquiries have been from Carbondale locals. And while she obviously can't identify her new neighbor, she did confirm that person is also a Carbondale local. And so I think that it represents some serious possibilities for the town.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it all hinges on what they have in mind for the property, but the fact that they have ties to the community, definitely a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm kind of waiting on bated breath to find out in particular what happens with the 4th Street Plaza and the kind of dirt parking lot in the center of town that surrounds Thunder River Theater Company. I did chat with Corey Simpson and Janet Buck in town to confirm his hopes that there is a guaranteed easement. TRTC is at no risk of losing access to their own building. But it could be really interesting. And, you know, I think what a lot of people forget, it's nice right now as the stock market keeps climbing. But, you know, we're still feeling the ripples of the Great Recession in 2008. And, you know, a lot like the 4th Street Plaza that we've been so fortunate to be able to just have as this public space, you know, there were completely approved construction plans for that area in, and Jay couldn't remember the exact date, but he thought it was right around that 2007, 2008. Again, when, you know, even when Corey moved in and TRTC opened their doors at their current building in New Year's Day of 2005, there were original development plans there. So, you know, the fact that we have kind of this open space now, that was never really the long-term intention. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Hopefully it's done in a really thoughtful way.
Absolutely.
You know, I think Carbondale's got this amazing character that's sort of, it's very approachable. It just mm-hmm. feels, it has a warm, friendly feel to it. And, you know, obviously, hopefully the architects or the developers who are going to be involved in these projects take that into consideration and try to preserve that feel going forward. But it is interesting because it does, you know, the recession kind of, in many ways, it just sort of created this space. Mm-hmm. Where the, you know, development would have occurred in each one of these locations, I'm fairly certain. But because of the situation, the financial situation during that time, financing was so much harder to get. And so it, in many ways, it just kind of created this breathing space for the town. And hopefully people have a chance to kind of take that into consideration, reflect a little bit more, and do something that's going to really be a credit to the town.
Yeah, I agree. One of the things that always gives me a sigh of relief in my reporting is it always seems like Carbondale has built in protections for Carbondale. So all of these downtown lots, for instance, are technically zoned as HCC. So I've got that assurance that, okay, at least they acknowledge that it's the historic commercial core, right? And so, you know, any development that does go in there does need to reflect that historic core that is the you know, breath of downtown Carbondale. So I am curious to see what happens. I'm sure that there's a tug of war right now in terms of sentiments between, oh my gosh, too much growth too soon is going to be the downfall of town versus, oh my gosh, like this is going to be the greatest thing ever. Carbondale needs this. I'm sure the truth is going to be somewhere in the middle. As my favorite quote from Jay during our interview is that commercial real estate does not happen quickly in Colorado, as evidenced by the city market plans.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's not just in Colorado in general, but I think in Carbondale as well. You know, people are certainly not exactly hesitant to weigh in on, you know, the relative merits or shortcomings of particular projects.
Right. And speaking of weighing in from a Carbondalian that I thought was really interesting, and I won't call him out by name, but he did comment on our Facebook posting of the story this afternoon. You know, he brought an interesting point that Aspen Valley Land Trust was able to raise the money to acquire the land at the base of the Red Hill project. And then, of course, you know, we just saw the conclusion of all that trail building for the season. And he posed, hey, if there was enough community buy-in, do you think we could duplicate something like that for this 4th Street Plaza that has become such an integral part of the downtown experience for so many people? And I'm not going to weigh in other than to put it out there to the ether for anyone listening. I just thought it was an interesting idea. And I'm always excited when unexpected discussion arises from a story.
Absolutely.
Love. Real quick here, quick roundup in our last couple of minutes. If you haven't seen the paper yet, you know, John Colson did a wonderful, we have this lovely little series called Our Town that we try to put in the paper with some consistency. The idea being of, hey, it is our town and there are so many amazing characters that populate it. Not always all of whom have a quote unquote reason to be in the newspaper, but are amazing contributors to everything wonderful about Carbondale anyway. So this Our Town was dedicated to Letty Gomez at Bonfire. And, you know, so that was a really sweet interview. Go check that out. Get to know your barista a little bit. Will, my fearless editor, schlepped up to Basalt Mountain to talk about the Central Rocky Mountain Permaculture Institute, informally known as CRIMPY is that acronym, and spoke with Jerome Osentowski, who has just some amazing greenhouse actions going up there. And I thought that was really wonderful. So again, things you would never expect in our very own backyard. You know, the trustees met as well, of course, and it was all trash talk. You know, I won't spend too much time on that just because we have had people in on this very show to talk about that. But if you want the updates, that is also in the paper, as was Basalt's decisions, or at least discussion regarding the fate of the Basalt public shooting range. Because if you recall the late Christine fire, I mean, Basalt Mountain is still kind of scorched earth in that regard. And it all started right there at that shooting range. So there was some discussion about moving it. We also did just kind of a fun feature on the local karaoke scene. David Sandman's pretty amazing and has quite the cult following and is going to be at the Black Nugget this evening. So if you want to get some bravery and go join the spotlight, I thought it was cool. He will pull up, I know this from personal experience, he will pull up literally anything you want. If it's available online, he will get it. So that is it. That is what I've got time for. You have been listening to Everything Under the Sun. I am Megan Tackett, joined with Alan Cole of Carbondale Rotary. Thanks so much.